it's time to head to the US to speak to our friend Daniel McCarthy, who is, of course, columnist for The Spectator USA, editor of Modern Age, a conservative review. Daniel, you would have heard me giving you an early warning. Do you have any views about the Epstein death? Any conspiracy theories that you favour?
Well, I share the widespread scepticism of the idea that this is a straightforward suicide case. You know, it's quite possible, quite likely perhaps even, that he did commit suicide. But if so, where did he get the materials? How did he know that his prison guards, who were in fact, you know, at least in one case, not a real prison guard, but some sort of part-time, you know, employee of the prison, how did he know that this guard would be taking a nap at a time when he might kill himself? He was taken off of suicide watch in a fairly timely fashion that gave him a nice occasion and opening to kill himself. All of these, you know, sort of coincidences and oddities add up to, you know, grounds for a great deal of suspicion.
Okay, let's look at China and the U.S. again. Trump has 2 points of pressure on China: tariffs and trade, and the protest in Hong Kong. Earlier today, he tweeted that he'd like to meet with his Chinese counterpart, but also said he needs to work humanely with Hong Kong first. So it's another lever Trump can pull.
Well, Trump has been under a good deal of criticism in the United States lately for failing to have a sufficiently critical line towards Beijing over what's happening in Hong Kong. Donald Trump has described the protests in Hong Kong as riots, and a great many Americans say that Trump should be much more strongly supportive of, you know, the protesters, especially when the protesters are going out there, you know, in some cases waving American flags and singing American patriotic songs.
You note that Erwin Stelzer, writing in The American Interest, says, don't call it a trade war. Instead, he argues it's all about a longer-term realignment and reframing of the two economies. A decoupling, I think, is his term.
Erwin Stelzer has written this essay for The American Interest, which is a U.S. Foreign policy magazine, a quite intelligent one. And he argues that what we're seeing between China and the United States with respect to trade is basically Brexit on a global scale. And I think he's right about that, that, you know, Donald Trump doesn't just want to have a kind of short-term renegotiation of trade policy with China, but in the long run, he actually wants to separate the American economy and the Chinese economy. And I think the steps he's taken so far and the intransigence that he's shown with respect to this policy has been evidence of that. You know, Donald Trump is not giving China what it wants in a very swift fashion. And although Trump backed off a little bit on some of his most recent tariffs, he said he's going to delay some of them at least until December, by which time Christmas orders will already be in. There's nevertheless the sense that this is going to be a very long and drawn-out so-called trade war.
Dan, it's not just tariffs that have been deployed, of course. There are other tactical weapons, such as devaluing the currency, limiting purchases on your adversary's products.
That's right. The Chinese have cut back dramatically on their purchases of American agricultural products. This is not only a kind of economic retaliation, but it also has direct political consequences for the upcoming American elections next year, in that agricultural states, including Iowa, which is one of the first places, in fact, the very first place to hold elections next year, primary elections, will be affected in ways that will, you know, have a chain reaction on the whole American election. So that is a pressure point that China perceives themselves to have, and they're trying to exploit it.
There are early warning signs of a genuine recession, are there not, in the U.S.?
Well, there are. Just before we began our interview here, there are the news update talked about the inversion of the U.S. Yield curve on bonds. There are, you know, various signs that businesses are losing confidence in the economy. So far, it seems as if consumers, however, are still quite confident. So there are somewhat mixed signals at the moment, but increasingly Wall Street is spooked, and we've seen losses of hundreds of points on the Dow Jones Index, over the course of several days in this week.
And we're seeing the same sort of dramatic consequences here. Now, a recession would be a catastrophe for Trump in 2020.
It certainly seems as if it would. I think Donald Trump's strongest re-election pitch, perhaps, is that he has presided over an economy that's actually grown in a quite dramatic and healthy way. And his economic record even compares favorably towards what compared to what we saw during the Obama years. And that's something that Trump can emphasize, especially if Joe Biden, Barack Obama's former vice president, is the Democratic nominee. So a recession would be almost certainly fatal to Trump's re-election hopes.
Okay, let's go back to the decoupling of these two giant economies. I'm surprised to learn, and I learned from you, that once America's top trading partner, China has now dropped to third place, for heaven's sake, behind Mexico and Canada.
Yes. Now, Mexico and Canada have been, among the top trading partners for a very long time. They're, obviously the United States' next door neighbors. There's a great deal of trade, within the North American continent between these three countries. But as a result of Donald Trump's trade policies, China, which had been, our number one trading partner for a very long time, has now dropped to third place behind these local neighbors of ours. And I think that's indicative of where Donald Trump would like to go, that he wants to see more regional economics. He wants to see economics where more production is, for the home market, and where international trade is more bilateral than global and is, conducted primarily with close neighbors such as Mexico and Canada, and perhaps also with, sort of neighbors of a close cultural connection like the United Kingdom. And the Trump administration has been talking about a kind of post-Brexit US-UK free trade agreement that may be in the works.
We're looking at Dan McCarthy's America, as we do on a regular basis on Late Night Live. Of course, the Donald isn't alone when it comes to wanting to reframe the US economic relationship. Elizabeth Warren, Democratic presidential hopeful, very hopeful I would have thought lately, echoes some of his concerns, but puts a sort of progressive twist on how US trade policy might work.
She does. Her language is much more progressive, of course, than Donald Trump's is, but many of the effects of her policies might be quite similar to those of Trump. So she's been emphasizing the need to have labor policies and environmental policies that are harmonized between trading partners, and the need to have everyone meet higher standards, those of the U.S. and Europe, as opposed to the lower standards that many developing countries have had. So there's been a lot of anxiety among Wall Street types towards Elizabeth Warren as well, not just because of her domestic policies, but also because they suspect she would carry on many of Donald Trump's trade policies. And perhaps she's not the only one. Bernie Sanders and other Democratic candidates have been willing to say that they would not end Donald Trump's tariffs on day one. So there's the sense that this policy will continue whether or not Donald Trump is reelected.
One of the another critic of Warren is conservative hardliner George Will. Is he a friend of yours, incidentally, Dan?
Well, I don't know George Will personally. He's someone I've read for a long time. And Will has been undergoing a kind of personal ideological realignment. He is very much opposed to Trump, and that has made him, sort of adopt a more libertarian point of view. And, he's become an intransigent Trump critic. And one of the things he has said lately is that Trump's supporters, conservatives who support Trump, are basically Elizabeth Warren conservatives, as far as he's concerned. In other words, basically indistinguishable from someone who's economically on the left wing of the Democratic Party.
What does the American public make of all this, Dan? I see Pew Research shows growing levels of distrust towards China. I think research in Australia would show a similar inclination.
It's a change towards Chinese. Americans' attitudes towards China have changed in both parties for the worse. So now about 60% of Americans have a negative view of China's role in the world. And of those, you know, about 70% of Republicans have that view, and something like, 50 or 59% of Democrats also have that view. So it's really, a point where the American public in both parties wants to see leaders, whether it's Donald Trump or Elizabeth Warren or someone else, take a fairly tough line with China.
I'm looking at the Pew Research here, and I see that China is tied with Russia, 24%, as the country most cited as a threat to the US. Look, thank you very much, Dan McCarthy, LNL's regular commentator from the US, columnist for The Spectator USA, and editor of Modern Age, a conservative review.